He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And on this broadcast morning, we have a temporary abatement of the incredible heat wave, which we have been existing in around the northwest Connecticut part of the Connecticut for the last several weeks, I guess. It may come back, but this morning's damp coldness outside the broadcast booth makes me want to discuss a couple of things about automobile accessories that people who may be wanting to purchase or lease vehicles this coming season, fall season, with the big fall sales push in effect for those who can afford those best spiffs with excellent credit or not. I want to discuss specifically cold weather packages as option packages in many, if not all, of the U.S. and import branded vehicles that are available throughout dealerships and everywhere. And I am an unabashed fan of the Jeep brand of vehicles with respect to the cold weather packages. Not model specific, just the Jeep, in my opinion, offers the best cold weather package across the board for the least amount of money anywhere between import European brands and domestic brands. Chevrolet, when I went shopping for a replacement for my Isuzu Ascender back in 2016-17 era, or 15, I guess it was, I had a chance to try out other vehicles. And one of the questions I asked the salespeople, if I had not already researched it, was, were heated steering wheels either available separately or part of cold weather packages for non-Jeep branded vehicles?
And is it only, sorry to be dumb, but who owns Jeep?
Fiat Chrysler, FCA.
Okay, so.
But Jeep is, of course, known as an off-road capable vehicle.
So I guess
vehicle.
What I'm wondering is, do other Chrysler vehicles
exist? Haven't. I don't know whether the same kind of package exists.
That's what
I was Jeep offers in a nutshell is this, at least on the Cherokee model. It does not offer certain aspects of this cold weather package in general in all the lines, but you have all included in the cold weather package in some of them is, you're shaking your head. I don't know what you want to know. Something called a engine block plug heater. And this is something that has been available as an option and or installed as produced options in the real cold weather states of this country for years. And trucks in particular have them. Because you live in Minnesota or the great Northwest or the great Northeast where temperatures, or Canada, for example, where temperatures can fall well below zero. Most coolant systems are good for freeze protection down to 50 below, but sometimes the batteries won't start the engines once you get 10 to 15 or 20 below. So engine block heaters are plug-in systems where you plug it into an AC outlet in your garage or at home, and it'll keep the engine block warm to whatever the temperature is set, somewhere in the 50-degree range, so that when you go out in the morning, your car will start right up because the engine oil is 50 degrees or better, and the block is warm, and you don't have a problem.
Sounds delightful.
Now, you don't need this particular part of a cold weather package as a standard feature for many areas of this country, but it just happens to be included in the less than $800 package Jeep offers it. You can't get this on an Audi.
But I guess what I'm trying to find out is we've got it absolutely on Jeep, right? Because we know,
Well, we have it absolutely on the Cherokee as far as this particular
And all
goes.
I'm trying to find out, that's why I was...
But
I'm
Chevrolet doesn't offer
no,
it.
No, I'm just trying to find out who else, if any. Are there any other...
I haven't done a cross-industry research of this for this particular topic.
Gotcha. That was all I was wondering.
Chevy doesn't offer it standard as part of a cold weather plan. Ford doesn't offer it. As far as I know, the Europeans don't offer it as part of their cold weather package. For a long time, you could not get heated steering wheels in Audis in the U.S. They were available in Europe, and for a long time, goes back a long time, decades. But it is now available, but it is a standalone option in many cases. If you look at a cold weather package on an Audi sticker, it may not have the heated steering wheel as part of that package.
It may have
heated seats, and they may be even heated rear seats. But if you want the heated steering wheel, you may have to ask for that. And it's very possible that you may have to buy something else that you don't want or need to get the heated steering wheel.
Can you order these things?
Yes, you can order them. But
okay.
I mean,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, you can order them if the manufacturer offers them as an option in any way. But people are impulse buyers when they go out and buy vehicles now. And you go into any, let's say, Fiat Chrysler dealership situation and look at the Jeep line of cars, you better look at the window stickers because not all of them have been ordered or delivered to the dealership with a cold weather package installed. And in the Northeast, it is insane not to have that as part of the inventoried vehicles available, in my opinion.
So should one make the leap and just say, if you're looking for a car and you live in or an SUV and you live in an area where there is cold weather, you should look on the window sticker because not all the cars that are in the lot are designated
right.
To
have that in the cars that have been delivered to dealerships. Because
in other words,
option packages. They're not standard equipment.
So what if you're trying to buy a car online?
The cheapest lines of the Jeep Cherokees do not have it. Most of the upper-level lines of the Jeep Cherokee, they're not necessarily called cold weather packages, but they're embedded in the upper-level models of those vehicles, the Latitudes, the Northland packages, and the like.
Are you suggesting that people should actually start reading the window stickers again?
Only if you know what you're doing when you're buying a car and you want something specific that is not necessarily a standard feature.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the cold weather package because we have a cold, damp day outside our broadcast studio in this broadcast. And, it makes me think that when I first went and looked for vehicles to replace my Isuzu Ascender, I found out that cold weather packages varied by quite a bit in their content amongst the various manufacturers. And Jeep came out way ahead, in my view, in what they offer, and it's cheap at under $800. And dealers who order inventory vehicles sometimes offer, they order base models with not a lot of options. The option that anybody at a Jeep dealership in New England should, or a cold weather state should add to whatever they inventory would be the cold weather package, if nothing else. And you can buy that as a standalone option. You don't have to get a sunroof. You don't have to get a leather interior.
Who they can or you can? In other words,
well, they can. They can offer. They can offer it. They can order it without the up level packages. Chrysler. Many to get the cold weather package in a. I'm trying to think of the GM model I was looking at, the Traverse maybe. You had to get another level of options included, and it may have been the leather interior package or something. I can't remember. But the steering wheel was not there, and it wasn't available as a standalone option. This is 4 years ago.
I know that 10 years ago, trying to just, for example,
well, nobody thought about it, but now people think about it. Once you've had a Jeep or once you've had a heated steering wheel in your car, you will probably never go back to ordering your subsequent car or leasing a subsequent car without a steering wheel. I have talked to so many people who have discovered heated steering wheels.
And what I was going to say was...
And you haven't discovered it yet.
No, the opposite of winter, summer, when it's very hot. Once you have a sunroof, you have to really decide whether or not you never want a sunroof again. And what I was going to say is
I don't need a sunroof. The only cars that have sunroofs in my inventory fleet, and they're all both 2003 era model years, is a Jaguar that I have and an Audi that I have, and they came with sunroofs as part of their standard features of the car.
So you just took them.
And you got them. Every other car to get a sunroof is generally $1,000 standalone option if it's available as a standalone option, or as part of a package. And yes, a lot of people like them, but I tell you the number of times I opened my sunroof can be during a year in any one of those two cars is I can count on one hand.
Really?
During hot weather, even.
Gotcha.
What they do is a tilt. They have a tilt-up feature, which is sort of nice because you can get good air circulation by lowering the side windows. And selectively along the side windows, and letting the air exhaust out of a tilted-up sunroof is a very nice way to get air circulation in the car without blowing your hair around. Okay? Moving on. We're watching this tariff situation that is going on combatively from our side of the world, and everything is being dealt with, if you charge a tariff on our stuff, we're going to charge a tariff on importing your stuff. And it's escalating in not so good directions. The other problem, which is unspoken in most news broadcasts that I've heard, is when you impose a tariff on somebody else's product and make it more expensive to come in, and come into our country, let's say steel and aluminum, what it allows the domestic producers to do is to raise their prices also. So instead of taking advantage of now being able to sell more domestically produced steel or aluminum to the manufacturers using those materials, and I'm thinking autos because this is what our show's about, the costs are going up domestically no matter what the tariff situation is doing for the imported of those same products.
Who gets the money?
Who gets the money? Domestically, the factories get the money.
Since the consumer has to pay.
No, the manufacturer of the product has to pay for the materials to make the product. And to a certain degree, there's discussion about how right now the manufacturers, and we're sticking with autos here, are trying to hold off raising the prices of their vehicles. But the prices of the materials going into their vehicles have gone up, despite the fact that they're manufactured in the U.S. because the manufacturers can raise the prices because they no longer are competing with the cheap imported prices, the cheap prices of the imported products because they now have tariffs making them more expensive.
Now, what if you
it's
are
a really
a for-
catch 22
what
situation
What if you're a foreign
here.
Dealer in the U.S.? Are you allowed to get the material from a
Ford dealer does not
a foreign
choose a foreign dealer. No, a foreign dealer has got the same issue with production location of production materials. Toyota manufactures cars in the U.S. Other manufacturers foreign makers
like
have,
BMW.
BMW's got a plant in South Carolina or Georgia somewhere, and from a national standpoint, probably the sourcing of materials may be coming from the national company corporate headquarters, but they're going to look for the cheapest location for materials for their cars. What is going to happen here is that prices are going to start rising on cars no matter where the materials that they're made of are coming from. This isn't a call for you to go out, you listeners, to go out and buy cars now because they're going to cost you several thousand dollars in maybe 4 years from now, higher for the same product and the same model. I suspect that's going to happen, everybody, unless tariffs are completely eliminated across the board, both for outgoing materials to outside the U.S. to materials coming in, we are going to see rising prices of vehicles eventually hitting the dealer showrooms, and a car that may cost you $30,000 now, may well be costing $35,000 by 2022.
So I wanted to ask you a question.
And some of it's going to be artificially related to this particular topic, which nobody will remember talked about.
Like gasoline, for example.
Gasoline's supposed to be going down. I want to bring that up because gasoline is now going down theoretically in a few weeks, or should be, because they don't have to produce the specialized summer fuel. We've talked about that in past shows. Do they really change the price of gasoline by the season? I can't prove that they have. I've never watched gasoline prices suddenly spike up 5 cents or 10 cents a gallon because they're supposedly making the summer blend.
Remember Katrina when suddenly?
Yes, I know. Well, been happening recently is that gas prices have been surprisingly insulated from the spikes of things that have been going on in the Middle East and
fascinating.
And
in quotes,
we've had a very stable price right here in our broadcast corner. And I've seen the same product as much as 15 cents a gallon, different at different pumps by the same distributor, in different towns, for some time. Sometimes there is, this distributor happens to service Shell stations, mobile stations, and I'm not sure whether they are involved in Citgo stations or not, but the prices are remarkably, flexible between towns. Kent has a different price for mobile down at their corner than Lakeville does in their corner, and Canaan does in their corner. And Canaan and mobile and Shell, for example, is at the same price for the regular grade. We'll stick to regular grade pricing. And it's different for Shell and mobile between Sharon and Lakeville by, I think it's right now, 5 cents a gallon. And one final note, down in Fairfield County, gas is a lot more expensive. I think there must be a Fairfield County tax on top of the base cost of the fuel because it is as much as 35 cents a gallon higher for regular grade in some parts of Fairfield County where I have been of late. And so the quest for finding the cheapest gas goes on, and right now, I will tell my listeners right around this corner, the least expensive gas as of yesterday, which was a Sunday for us, was $286.6. True, no kidding. It's posted as $286.9 on the Blanaker, but somebody has either misprogrammed the regular grade pumps.
Where'd you find it?
It's down the road on 22 going towards Dover Plains area, and it held through the weekend where other prices jumped in a few places because oil has been jumping around and going up. And
my favorite thing is always to listen to the reason that's given for the change.
Well, I've now become deaf to those reasons because there's no rhyme or reason.
I wanted to ask you a question going back to car prices.
Okay,
it will be
quick because I got some other things to go on to.
All right, we can talk about this another time. It has to do with interest people are paying on loans. Go on.
Okay, let's forget about that because that's another issue. Year-end incentives are in full swing. We discussed that, I think, on last week's show or the week before. But one of the things that I've been noticing, we've talked a lot about emissions with diesel cars and all that. I have noticed in the last year or two, and I don't think it's been a whole lot before that, that I am smelling really gross emissions, exhaust smells from cars in front of me coming into my air conditioning system when following vehicles going up steep hills and they're accelerating and using a lot of power to maintain their speed or to accelerate. We have a hill here called Smith Hill on 44 coming from Canaan to Salisbury. And I was in a line of cars, and then a couple of cars went by, and I tell you, I almost choked with the exhaust
fumes. Only
diesel? No, this is gasoline. This is gasoline.
Because now that you mentioned it,
just be quiet a minute. This is actually a gasoline situation, and I am concerned and I am convinced that whatever emission control devices are in play in gasoline engines to keep the engines, the exhaust clean, are defeated or being turned off by tromping on the accelerator pedal and basically asking for full power of the engines. And the stuff that is coming out the tailpipes is just gross. Now, somebody will have some story about why, but I remember that when you used to have air conditioning systems on and you did this, the air compressor would go in an off mode because air conditioning compressors in the older cars used to rob the engines of power. And so they disengaged the compressor while you had more than half an accelerator push on your pedal down. And so the same thing is happening with exhaust emission defeat devices, I think. Control devices. But I've noticed a distinct increase in very, very unpleasant smells coming into cars, following cars in front of me.
As and it happens?
You notice it too.
And that is why my nose is twitching and I didn't interrupt you.
And
no,
it is a good note, and I don't know. No. I don't think the EPA is aware of this. I don't know whether the people who have been dealing with this diesel thing has any clue that this is going on in the gasoline engine
or
vehicles.
Or some patch overrode
something. Something is going on.
But
and they'll tell you, well, it's about probably additives in the gasoline or it's the, whatever's in your catalytic converter. But this is under full acceleration, and it is really noticeable. So drivers out there, you can tweet into a show or do something and let us know if you agree. But
tweet Robin.
Yeah, well, I won't. I don't.
Good luck with
that. I don't tweet. You'll never hear from me. So that's the story. That's my thought on that one. Along the electric car front, Mercedes is coming out in about 2 years with an EQC total electric crossover vehicle that looks very much like a BMW X5, a Jeep Cherokee, a Mercedes current version gasoline. It's going to have a 280-mile estimated range. But Toyota, in the meantime, is going to stick with hybrid cars and continue development of hybrid car systems or engine.
You're talking about plug-in or?
No, they're going to emphasize the conventional hybrids because they see that as the real wave of the future for a while they continue to watch the plug-in electric hybrid.
So basically, once they get a battery that can go 500, 600 miles, they'll switch over.
They will. That's exactly what's
going to
happen because they are in agreement with this.
I must say, it makes perfect sense to me.
Show's host that, 200 to 300 miles is great for those who are limiting their daily drives and don't really ever want to go on a trip anywhere, is not enough for anybody that does long distance driving and does not want range anxiety to creep into the system. And my friend who just got a Tesla Model 30 claims he doesn't have range anxiety. I have noted recently that he is driving his Porsche Cayenne more than he's driving his Tesla. He does a lot of driving, and I think the range anxiety situation, which may go away with mass appearance of electric plug-in stations, but it still doesn't take away the 30 minutes or so that you have to sit and twiddle your thumbs or play with your phones while you try to get 80% of your battery recharged so you can get the next 200 to 280 miles out of it. And so hybrids are going to be around for a long time. The Ford Fusion hybrid, the Toyota Camry hybrids, the Hyundai Sonata hybrids, and any other hybrids that are on the road are going to be very good cars to own. Kia's got a new Niro. Is it the Kia or Hyundai? And they just did a long-range test in one show, and it got 43.5 miles per gallon over the years, average over the years' use of this hybrid crossover, smallish crossover vehicle. And they said it was a very satisfactory vehicle to have. And 43.5 miles is a gallon. If you have you need a gas tank big enough to make it worthwhile, though. The problem with some of these hybrid cars is that the smaller the car, the smaller the tanks. You don't get more range, but at least you can fill up in 5 minutes or less and move on for the next 300 miles or 400 miles per tank full.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.